it's like, I'm the only one that has these parents that go karaokeing every weekend and sing John Denver till 2 a.m. But no, it's not just the five families I grew up with. That was totally a thing. And to know that and be, I mean, this is a silly example, but like to be validated in that as this is a common experience.
Bring your wonder. Yes, you are only one.
This is a different kind of episode that we're going to have sometimes, and we're calling it Not Just Book Club.
And this is all we need.
This is Angela. I read a lot of audiobooks when I'm walking my dog, and last year in 2020, I made a conscious effort to read more books by women authors of color, and it really actually changed my reading experience. I loved it. Because our collective focus was really centered around Black Lives Matter, I read a lot of Black and Latinx stories and like a couple of Asian American stories. But this year, I've been consciously targeting that focus more to Asian American authors because we've been doing this project. And so my brain is kind of in that space. And I've also just in general been more conscious of the Asian American experience. So the stories I read have been a lot more connected to that mindset.
Yep. And Annie here. So I've been on a very similar media consumption journey. I wanted to make a deliberate effort to see stories that reflected what was familiar to me and or that I was more interested in just generally understanding. And I have been continually amazed at every turn that I make around the media corner.
There's a lot out there. So we want to share with you what we're currently reading, watching, and listening to. And so that's why it's more than just book club. It's not just book club.
The first thing I want to talk about is a book called Interior Chinatown by Charles Yu. This book has a really unique format that I haven't seen before. It's written actually in the form of a screenplay. So the characters are portrayed as actors. And the whole idea is that it's making commentary on how Asians are so often perceived as this unseen monolith in the U.S. with just really just these generic categories of personas that are assigned to them. And when any Asian tries to be more than that, it for a minute might seem like they gain some progress, but then at the end, they're just brought back down by the system. It continues to put them back into their supposed place. And like I said, it's that interesting format where you don't usually see in a book, but it makes it really a really fun read while also talking about a very serious topic and really making these very real and true comments about how Asians are seen within the American society.
Yeah, that's really like one of the amazing things about fiction. I used to read a lot of nonfiction because I was like, I just wanted stuff that was productive or useful. But I've been like really happy reading more fiction stories because they weave in these societal messages through storytelling. So like you're not hit over the head with the obvious message, but it really like shows you the impact of, you know, some of these harmful mindsets that we face as a default.
And this is exactly what this does. I thought it did it beautifully. I wasn't totally sure what I was getting into because I have this problem, right, where I go into consuming media without reading. So this is what happened with when I watched, for example, slight digression, Game of Thrones. I didn't know anything about what it was about. I went in there thinking it was historical drama. So I was a little bit shocked to learn that there are dragons in medieval Europe, but I digress. My point is I went into this book not knowing the format of it. And I thought, huh, this is interesting. And then to your point, oh, wow, it was really powerful to read. So definitely recommend it.
So did you read it in print or in audio?
I did it in audiobook format.
What was it like hearing a screenplay in audio?
That's why I had so much confusion when I first started listening to it. And I say, what am I listening to? I don't understand. But this is where, with audiobooks, the narrator, the voiceover person, is so important. And I caught on very quickly, even though the first, call it maybe page equivalent, was a little confusing. And that's also the beauty of skilled writing, is that it comes across, it'll hit you very quickly what is the book is trying to do. Mm-hmm. So it was a really fun read. And there were points in there where I thought when they were the author was talking about some Taiwanese experience, totally hit home. There's this one particular part where they talked about the Taiwanese man who sings karaoke and only sings John Denver. I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what my dad did every weekend growing up.
You guys had a serious karaoke setup.
Like, yeah, I remember the microphones.
Everything. Laser discs? Like, yes. You had everything.
Yes, the laser discs. Yes, the laser discs with the wireless mics. Every weekend growing up, before I had my driver's license, we would get dragged along with our other friends to between my parents would rotate with their friends who also had laser disc players. No joke, every Friday, Saturday night till literally 2 a.m., they would be downstairs at each person's place, singing karaoke, singing John Denver, singing Elvis, singing Neil Diamond. Oh, yeah. So there are these points of connection, like we were talking about why we've been going on this media consumption journey, is finding those stories that we connect with, that there's a point of familiarity in it. And you go, oh my gosh, that is my life. That is my story.
Yeah. Talk about feeling seen. Like, this, like, who would have thought that you, this part of your life experience would be recognized and like see, like published in like something that, you know, other people would experience.
Right. Yeah. And that's the other thing too. We so many times sit here and think that our experiences, no matter how seemingly small or big, are just, it's like, I'm the only one that has these parents that go karaokeing every weekend and sing John Denver till 2 a.m. But no, it's not just the five families I grew up with. That was totally a thing. And to know that and be, I mean, this is a silly example, but like to be validated in that as this is a common experience, a shared experience that I have with more than just the five families that I had to suffer through every weekend listening to our parents karaoke, right? I think that is an awesome thing. So what about you? What do you want to share today, Angela?
So my first share to Not Just Book Club is actually, it's the musician that you hear in our intro and outro music. It's Vienna Tang. Her Twitter bio and Bandcamp bio says she once wrote code, then wrote songs, and now writes bullet points and papers. So all that means that like she started her career as a software engineer, and then she quit her job in tech to become a full-time singer-songwriter, full-time musician. And now she still makes music, but she has really invested her career in something that she cares about, which is sustainability and climate change. And so she's actually in consulting now and writing up these papers and convincing other people at the, I'd say, corporate level or even like large scale change level to literally save the world. So I feel a lot of kinship with her because we're about the same age. We grew up in the same area, South San Francisco Bay Area. And she's kind of the quintessential Asian American dream realized of all of our parents who forced us to take piano lessons. Like, she took piano lessons from, like, the same, you know, very young age, but she actually turned into a musician. Like, she actually used that piano skill, and not in, like, not in just the way that, like, we learn, like, classical music songs like Mozart and Chopin, but, like, she actually wrote and composed her own songs. And so her music is contemporary. It's artistic. It's, like, her own thing. But she took that kind of classical training and transformed it into American music. So it's actually reflected in her name. Vienna Tang is a stage name. And Vienna, she chose to honor the classical piano heritage because Vienna, Austria, is the origin of a lot of really famous classical composers. And then Tang is the last name of a very famous Taiwanese singer in the 1900s. I hate when I say that, the 20th century. Teresa Tang. And it's funny because a few weeks ago, I learned that a friend of mine, one of her favorite musicians is Teresa Tang, who is, I think, someone that maybe her parents or her dad introduced her to and, like, played a lot. So, like, she became very familiar with Teresa Tang's music. And Teresa Tang was famous, like, all over Asia. So a lot of Asians of, say, our parents' generation really know about Teresa Tang. So I thought it was really cool how Vienna Tang chose to use Teresa Tang's last name as the as her last name of her stage name to kind of connect it back to both of these parts of influences to what she builds or what she makes today. Just her story of being an engineer turned musician or engineer turned creative, that really resonates with me because I also have been an engineer by training, but always been looking to express myself creatively. I think that, like, at that time, I was so amazed and so dazzled by someone who could make that transition and, like, go from such a very technical and rigorous profession that isn't seen as creative, even though I do think code is creative, and go into, like, a completely, like, artist life. Her career arc and her, like, professional arc was really inspiring to me. And even now, I feel like a bit more kinship with her because she's also a mom. And, you know, I'm a mom too. And just knowing that, like, she's going through this journey and, like, even with all the challenges of how all-consuming raising a child is, and that she still finds time to be creative. She still finds time to do her day job. She still finds time to be an activist. Last year, leading up to the election, she was really, really putting in a lot of energy, even with a newborn or even with an infant. She was putting in a lot of energy to try to get out the vote and really help the election have the outcome that she, you know, supported. So her activism is really admirable too, because she really lives her values.
Being able to see people who have something, like you were saying, use the kinship, right? Having that kinship component to them is so important for anybody, right? Is to say, hey, look, there's this person that I see some connection to in some way in our journeys, and that can help inspire and continue to motivate you on your own individual journey. And that's what it sounds like it's help to do, to see her and her journey and connection to that.
Yeah. And I didn't even talk about her music yet. I said so much I'm talking about, like, how cool she is as a person. But she released her first album, like, right when I graduated college. It was called Waking Hour. And I remember I took the CD immediately, like, ripped it into MP3 so I could carry it around with me everywhere. I listened to that album so much. And it is a sound that I had not really heard from any other musician. And I remember being really like carried by it and feeling like these songs were really a vibe. I even used a song or two of hers as part of our wedding soundtrack to set the mood for our guests at our wedding. And she's released several albums, but also she collaborated on a musical. And I'm really grateful that along the lines of living your values and creating, like using your artistic creation to put out something positive in the world, her latest album, Aims, she released it under a Creative Commons license, which is really rare among musicians because usually musicians are like hustling. They need to get paid. So they need to protect their rights for their music. So for her to release it under Creative Commons is really generous because it allows other people to create with her music. Especially like the songs on Aims are, I'd say, really in line with an activist kind of mindset or like articulating some things about like things that like get you going and help you take action to change the world around you if you're not happy with what you're seeing or what you're experiencing. So that's why we've chosen that song, Level Up, to frame our podcast, because it's really about that. Like, it's kind of like waking up and following your own heart, following your own drive, and actually just get started in doing something.
So thanks for listening to our first Not Just Book Club with Hearts in Taiwan. The music you hear at the beginning and end of the episode is the song Level Up by Vienna Tang, which is produced by Kason Cooley and Vienna Tang and licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.
If you enjoyed this, consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It makes a big difference for us and will encourage us to make more.
You can follow and DM us on Instagram or Facebook at Hearts in Taiwan, or contact us through our website, heartsintaiwan.com. Come back next week for our next episode. Until then, follow your curiosity
and follow your heart.
It's time to come on out. There will be no sign from above. You'll only hear the knock, knock, knock of your own heart, a signal. If you are free.